society. Can autism be fixed? Obviously, it happens all the time. And there are occasional cases of many dishonest agents who are caught taking bribes. But a taxpayer who is caught trying to bribe an IRS agent can go to jail for as long as 5 years and pay a $10,000 fine. To guard against any hanky-panky, Internal Revenue Service agents are now prohibited from even having lunch with a client at the client's expense, supposedly. Unless he, of course, is involved with supporting KCIA in South Korea. Again, politics speaks in all these matters. How does the IRS conclude that non-compliance amounts to criminal fraud? Now, this is an important point. The Internal Revenue Service maintains that an honest mistake can never be fraud. They maintain an honest mistake can never be fraud. But the auditor's manual lists more than 50 criteria that could lead to criminal fraud charges. These include the omission of entire sources of income, an unexplained increase in net worth, or keeping two sets of books. It's a judgment call. If the auditing agent of IRS, the dreaded arm of repression in the United States, and harassment, if the auditing agent uncovers such badges of fraud, he turns the case over to the IRS Intelligence Division for investigation. Many such cases are settled without prosecution, but taxpayers found guilty of fraud are subject to substantial penalties, and at worst, they will go to jail. What will happen to the nearly 2.5 million Americans who will undergo an audit in this year of 1978? One out of four will escape untouched. In fact, about 100,000 will find Uncle Sam owes them money. Not the other way around. Three out of four will have to come up with their share of an anticipated $5 billion to $6 billion in additional taxes to support the warfare state that's killing and torturing right this afternoon in South Africa, as several more cases of torture have been brought to light in Zimbabwe and in Zaire and Angola and Union of South Africa by the military assistance given by the USA and the CIA. Well, they have to come up with $6 billion additional taxes, accrued interest, and criminal penalties. But last year, only 1,641 out of the 2.5 million that were audited were indicted for fraud. 1,229 cop pleas, 247 were convicted, and 165 went free. In other words, out of 2.5 million that were audited, only 247 went to jail for not paying taxes. Now we want to discuss an underground economy in the United States that has some interest to all of us who want to resist the fascist elite monopoly ruling classes. In the government books, 29-year-old Carl C. of Hollywood, California, Newsweek keeps his identity unknown, of course, he's not a socialist, no doubt. He appears as a part-time actor who supplemented his 1977 unemployment insurance by taking handyman jobs worth $2,700. In fact, Carl made $12,000 building sun decks, laying patios, and painting garages. He received most of his payments in cash and simply did not report the income. Solomon A. of Chicago, Illinois, works in his son's liquor store for about $10,000 a year in cash. It's been noted by left-wing press that these people, though they're ostensibly hidden, later their names can be figured out by IRS, and the IRS comes after them, so it doesn't pay to talk to the press about your internal revenue. Neither he nor his son, Solomon A., that is, of Chicago, who works in his son's liquor store for about $10,000 a year in cash, neither he nor his son ever mentions the arrangement to the government that off-the-books salary added to his monthly Social Security checks enables a 70-year-old grandfather to live in reasonable, comfortable style in the terribly high cost of living area, complete with a 3-month vacation, if he's lucky, every 2 years in Florida. Jack D. is an antiques dealer in New York City. Customers who are willing to pay him in cash get insignificant discounts on his merchandise. And Jack records on his books only part of what they actually pay. The result, lower income taxes, plus a safety deposit box chock full of ready cash. Carl, Solomon, and Jack have slid into the underground economy, the vast and murky netherworld of jobs, services, and business transactions that never show up in official records. Some of their colleagues there are prostitutes, drug dealers, bank robbers, illegal aliens who do not want their activities publicly recorded for obvious reasons. But hundreds of thousands more are otherwise law-abiding Americans who simply want to avoid paying taxes and either deliberately understate the amount of their incomes or fail to report them all out of disrespect for the U.S. economic system, either this conservative view of it or a pro-left view that the economy is wasting the money. Some experts think that the underground economy may be growing even faster than the legal one. Resentful of high taxes and wronged by inflation, an economy that is seemingly about to go broke, more and more Americans may be looking for and finding ingenious ways to beat the system. Once that involuntary compliance breaks down, warns Mort Levy, regional supervisor of California of the IRS, it's the beginning of the end of the system. Well, let's hope so. By definition, the real dimensions of the subterranean economy, the underground economy, are immeasurable. But one economist at the City University of New York has reached an alarming estimate that has caused widespread controversy. Professor Peter Gutman of Baruch College calculates that the income generated by the underground economy in 1977 that's operating illegally added up to $195 billion, about 10% of the acknowledged gross national product. Had taxes been collected on that sum, Gutman estimates, tax expert, that might nearly have eradicated the $48 billion U.S. budget deficit. If hidden employment could have been tabulated in official labor statistics, he suggests the nation's 6.4% unemployment rate would have been reduced, and since much of the underground economy flourishes in the poor urban ghettos, says Gutman, there are probably fewer American families living in poverty than the official statistics indicate. Tax experts like Gutman arrive at the estimates by comparing the amount of available cash, the only currency the underground economy can use, to U.S. checking deposits. In recent years, he observes there has been a sharp increase in the relative amount of cash in circulation, to an astonishing current total of almost $400 for every man, woman, and child in this country, which does not go far with the increased inflation and cost of living. And he attributes that increase to the growth of underground illegal business. Many experts think his formula is a little simplistic. It does not, for example, take into account the large number of U.S. dollars that are hoarded abroad, nor does it allow for the fact that some illegally generated income inevitably finds its way back into the legal economy and thence onto the tax ledgers. But even the most conservative estimates put the amount of money involved in the underground illegal U.S. economy well into the billions, enough to wipe out the national debt. The Internal Revenue Service itself calculates the income that never gets taxed at a rock-bottom minimum of $45 billion a year and the loss of federal revenues at $10 billion or more each year. According to the IRS's best data, the single biggest tax evasion is a failure of individuals and corporations to report $18 billion a year in bank interest and stock dividends. Probably as much as $12 billion in outside income from moonlighting jobs necessary to keep people alive in America today are such unrecorded earnings as taxi drivers' tips is similarly left off the returns. The biggest area of non-compliance involve waiters, maids, doctors who are the most criminal of all, small shopkeepers and businessmen, workmen and independent craftsmen like plumbers, says the IRS Commissioner Sheldon Cohen. These are all areas that handle large amounts of small cash payments, and even if checks are given, there's no record in many cases. Of particular concern to the tax collectors of U.S. monopoly capitalism are independent contractors, from life insurance salesmen and phone solicitors to housewives who give Tupperware parties. All are regularly employed by necessity to maintain even a minimal standard of living in U.S. inflation these days. But none are subject to withholding by the companies that pay them. And if they choose not to report all are part of their earnings, it is extremely difficult for the tax men to track them down. In January, readers of the Chicago Sun-Times had a rare chance to see just how pervasive the underground illegal economy can be. Newsweek, January 23rd. The Chicago Better Government Association bought a near Southside bar, which they named the Mirage. The owner of record and the bartenders were all employees of the sponsoring organizations, and in the guise of ordinary entrepreneurs, business people that is, they set out to document corrupt business in Chicago. An accountant told them that he kept tax accounts for 700 local businesses, and that all but four cheated on their returns. 696 cheated. He taught them to pay off city inspectors, police, and firemen, and to skim 40% off the top of their receipts, keeping special books for the tax man. They were not to keep cash register tapes. They were not to keep any cash register tapes, which might give them away. They were not to list the bar's four part-time employees on the payroll so that they could avoid paying Social Security and workmen's compensation taxes for them. The Mirage team contacted 10 other local accountants to see what they would advise. All of them told them to cheat. All 10 of them told them to cheat. At higher levels, a growing number of executives are rediscovering a grand old way to criminally avoid taxes, the barter system. Some use it to avoid capital gain taxes by claiming that the property they trade away is equal in value to what they get in return, with no profit at all on either side of the transaction. I know a man who recently exchanged 6 blocks for a hotel, 2 Cadillacs, and an option on some oil drilling rights, reports Roy Herberger, Jr., Associate Dean of the University of Southern California's Business School. The tension of his action and fear of being caught caused him to have a heart attack and died, but at least he pulled the deal. Some local businessmen have so refined the barter system that it nearly replaces other forms of currency. One Denver club uses credits as its sole medium of exchange. A carpenter who makes 6 cabinets, for example, earns 12 credits that he might use to pay a member lawyer for a divorce. Since there's no cash for R and no W-2 forms, says Denver CPA Jack Anderson, a public accountant, people feel they don't have to count it as income. Jack Vitor, former publisher of San Francisco Magazine, used to trade advertising space for everything from vacations to car rentals. Vitor says he was told there was no need to declare these services, so he never did. Some people say it's taxable, some say it's not. He shrugs. He later got into difficulty in spite of his pro-capitalist position. Such barter arrangements have not been thoroughly tested in court, and like most other aspects of the underground economy, they are not easy for the tax collectors to ferret or dig out for a challenge. If you do it in moderation, they'll probably never get you, says Herb Kushner, a New York tax attorney. Some experts worry that growth in the underground economy, the illegal economy, is a serious sign that the U.S. American capitalist system of voluntary tax compliance is in real trouble. Few think there is a real danger that tax evasion will become a national sport, even though it is in the few millions already, as it has in France and Italy, which is almost destroying the economy. By tax evasion, France and Italy is almost destroying its economy. But they do point to flourishing hidden economies in fascist Germany, where thousands of Schwarzarbeiter illicit workers never report their incomes. In Sweden, where professionals use an unreported barter system almost as a matter of course. And in the United Kingdom, Great Britain, or England, where the fiddle with the tax rules is now epidemic, like a disease. Like the United States, all three nations were once models of taxpayer compliance. So many suspect that the U.S. economy will reach its downfall by those who are tired of paying taxes and are going in the illegal underground economy. Thus ends the report on Taxes USA. We hope that more will cease paying their taxes, as taxes have been used in the torturous methods to overthrow regimes from Chile to South Africa to Southeast Asia. Bravo to those who could avoid paying taxes. Much love.
No, the test shots worked out. So you did wait and wait and wait, and finally I made a phone call, which was a toll call, of course, and every penny counted, you know. So then he said, well, I don't think we're going to use you for the calendars. There are certain things that weren't quite right, but if you'd like to come down again, we could try for some more different angles. And I needed the job so bad, so I went back again, went through the whole thing. And then, you know, I noticed that he was getting very excited. Oh, another one like that. Yeah, I want another one like that. Oh, beautiful, beautiful. He says, oh, I mean, with a little adjustment, it'll be beautiful. And then I thought, oh, my God, I've been had. He's taken about 5 hours of photography. I never got a penny. It cost me money. My wardrobe, my fixing my hair, my bus fare, my phone calls, and so on. And later I saw myself in the magazines. He never paid me a penny. And I went through this over and over and over. And they would not hire you unless they had so-called test shots. And this was the scam that was going on then. Of course, they can't get away with that anymore. But oh, the way we used to get had. Never got paid for anything. Then you wondered how you couldn't get a job. Well, everybody was using you back and forth. You know, it was the same thing in club dates where I used to be a dancer, you see. And, you have to come in and try you out. And I found out that we had a whole bunch of girls who were being tried out only on Friday and Saturday nights. Mm-hmm. And then the proprietor of the club said, oh, he says, you're such darling. You girls are so wonderful. He said, oh, I wish we could afford to hire you. And then I thought, we weren't going to be hired anyway. What's all this? The guy was picking up money for bringing all of us girls down to do our numbers, mm-hmm. like an oleo, you know? And he was using our costumes, our time, our money. And the guy would get all the money and we would be brought home and say, well, if they like you, they might hire you, but I'll let you know. You never heard from me again. This went on for months. Couldn't get a job. And it would bring the house down. We were so good. There was a tumbler, you know, she was gorgeous. And I did oriental dancing. And nothing strip or anything like that. You know, it was strictly beautiful stuff. I finally gave up on American people. I said, you're all a bunch of predatory skin.
Okay.
Little girl.
I think I better get going.
I hope that it was the 23rd.
It was such a heck of a day, though.
Mm-hmm. How many more do we have to go?
Ladies Card of Fortune, which I have called 76 on Maple Uranus, signed Mercury.
76 on Maple.
Maple Uranus, signed Mercury.
Good name. You've got a good name. Mm-hmm. I checked that. I don't see how it could be anything else.
It just couldn't be anything else.
Well, see, I did this in Joan's class. I don't know. I did it once before in her soul.
76 sextile Natal Uranus Time Mercury.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. Mm-hmm. Well, you got your job. You know, I mean, let's break it down more specifically. Radix part of the fortune, her health, her work potentials, her luck, part of fortune, you know, really. Mm-hmm. And the aspect was, what was that?
Trine Mercury.
Oh, Trine Mercury, beautiful. Now, Mercury is an important planet to you because you're a Gemini. It's the dispositor of her sun, her Venus. And North Node. So it was for the better. that you had come. Trying, part of what you're trying. Mm-hmm. Very good for your well-being to have made the move. Okay.
The next one?
Mm-hmm.
Radix Mercury, sextile, natal, peace.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, it's a minor aspect, but it's a very nice one. Venus has to do with possessions, with cultural advantages, with friends, so there were new friends to be made. And an expansion of your communication ability, you know, Mercury. Well, sure, it brought you a whole new culture. You know. Mm-hmm. If you can call our way of life a culture, I guess it is.
Yeah.
Well, plastics and hamburgers, and, you know, it's a culture.
Apex Mars, semi-sextile the sun.
Vedic Mars, semi-sextile sun. Well, it's a mild aspect, but it gives energy, it gives initiative.
Yeah.
Growth.
Vedic Mars, semi-sextile Mars.
Oh, also activity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Take care of it.
Doesn't the Mars have to do with ego also, as well as the sun?
Well, yeah, it has a lot to do with the ego in the Aries sense, in the first house sense of I'm me, and it's a starting point. You know.
If it's in the first.
Yeah. Mm. See, the me of the sun is more quiescent, and the Mars me starts out to do something. It's the fool in the tarot card, you know. Mm. It goes off with its foot hanging over a cliff.
Okay. Radix Mars in conjunct natal moon.
Radix Mars in conjunct natal moon. Radix Mars in conjunct natal moon. That serious adjustment. Your moon is in the fifth, so your whole creative life went through great changes. You have to learn how to do things differently. Mars is doing where the pot is boiling, acting, yeah. You know, behaving. And there were just new ways of approaching things. Also friends, you have to make friends. You have to. Okay?
Okay, Radix Mars squares the natal ascendant.
Radix Mars square natal ascendant. All right, it stimulated your initiative tremendously. Mars square means you have got to do something about something.
Yeah, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Change the personal way.
Mm-hmm.
David Jupiter squares natal. You have to.
All right.
Lorraine, you do that one.
What?
Radix. Radix Jupiter square.
Jupiter squares natal Mercury.
Mercury.
Neptune.
Oh, yeah.
Natal Neptune. Well, that's.
Fixed time.
No, that's not the thing. Where is this? Where is this? It ties in with the other one, doesn't it? It has to do with your emotional feelings. You were lost.
She's not able to see.
She wasn't
yeah,
able
was
to
clouded.
See. The Radix Jupiter in her natal Neptune in her first had to do with her herself.
So much
voice. And a lot of new things.
Well, also, I must say that she was eluded also. There were many illusions you eventually had to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
that
sure.
Was, yeah,
right.
Took me a long time.
Sure, Neptune, you know. Sure,
Neptune,
all the illusions you had.
Overwhelming.
To.
So I'll come. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Right. Definitely. So. And Jupiter, Jupiter's crest, the second crest too.
Radix Jupiter, square. Yeah, well, that's the cost, expenditure.
overwhelming. Here she's
financial.
A newly married
cost, yeah,
the financial person cost in a new country. Okay, Radix Saturn's crest, natal Mars.
Radix Saturn, your natal Mars. We have to take the houses that Mars and Saturn rule. It's a health aspect.
That's nice.
Well, Saturn rules her sixth, you know, natally, and that's what you have to refer to the sixth for planetary interpretations. So I think that the health and the challenges, and also the work, the toughness of getting a job.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is for that mm-hmm. testing.
Mm-hmm. Also, yeah. And Mars also, in her case, being in the ninth, it was also beliefs and faith and philosophy and so on. It had to go through changes, yeah. Challenges. Trials. I would say that it, Saturn Mars is trials and tribulations.
Trials,
you know.
Yeah.
Challenges for thinking.
Mm-hmm.
It would.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what I meant by the beliefs in the spiritual
not only
philosophy.
I have to adjust to being married, but mm-hmm. I also have to adjust to, you know,
what other people thought and felt.
And being in a new country at the same time.
Right. Did he come to a specific employment he had here?
Yes. I see. He was hired in Holland.
Uh-huh.
They came over.
Uh-huh.
Amsterdam.
I see.
They looked all over for Europe, you know, they went all over and
was it a Dutch company or what?
No, it was an American company in Transistors.
Oh, why did they want Dutchmen?
They wanted Dutchmen, Englishmen, anyone.
Oh,
they
I
can,
see.
Because these were people who, you know, high education. They all had, were either doctor or they had a master degree.
Yeah.
They picked and they didn't have to pay them as much.
Oh, that's why.
As they paid the Americans.
There
know.
The Americans go again.
There
taking
there.
Advantage
financial.
Of poor Europeans and Orientals.
They're still doing it.
I know they are.
Sure.
I had a call the other day
right.
from
Orientals
a man.
The Orientals are getting back at us.
You better believe it.
They're buying up the whole
yeah, they're
world.
Buying up the world.
Mm-hmm.
No kidding.
Really?
They own Wilshire Boulevard. Did you know that?
No.
Most well, Americans don't. Japanese own Wilshire Boulevard.
They're working in Rome.
If yep. they keep it up, they'll own the rest
they
of
own Brazil
the
already.
Mm-hmm. Well, part they're too. Lucky we ought to get into a war with another one. Maybe they have people to war with the rest of us.
They'll
take
yeah.
us over and then we'll be
period.
Part of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Radix Uranus, semi-sextile natal Venus.
Radix Uranus, semi-sextile natal Venus. Oh yeah, that's a nice aspect. You had friends that came along and they helped you.
Yeah.
There were opportunities that opened up.
Yeah.
And, you know, your Venus is in the 11th house of friends. You always got to make friends. Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm. That's true.
Oh, David's Uranus. Sextile natal Mercury.
Again, you know, more of the same. Your Mercury's in the 11th.
Mm-hmm.
The circumstances were conducive, yeah, to communication and expansion of your consciousness in the Uranus in the 11th.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Pluto trines natal Mars.
Excellent. Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Sextiles natal Sun.
Ah, then lots of activities, lots of activities, and a whole bunch of doing things.
Yes.
Doing this, doing that, a lot of doing.
Radix, fifth cusp, trines, natal, Neptune.
Radix,
I have
cusp.
Another one, Pluto.
Uh-huh.
Radix, Pluto, sextile, the natal Sun.
Radix.
I said that. Oh.
Yeah, she
oh.
did at the same
oh.
time, which is more of same, you know.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go.
Yeah, fist cups, tongs, maple, martinis.
Well, would you repeat that, please?
David, fist.
Oh, I see, all right.
Tongs, maple, martinis, right?
Neptune.
Is it Neptune?
That's better.
It's Neptune.
That's better. Okay. Yes, it's in the kitchen, honey. Fifth cusp, trine, natal, Neptune. Well, that was social activities and also an opening up of creative avenues. Whereas some of your illusions